Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We got our man Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com joining us. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Saw you caught up with Coach Crean on Saturday, too. How were his spirits?
Yeah, the one-year anniversary of his hire.
Yeah.
He's excited about getting ready for next year. I mean, they got, the 7 days off. But you look at this recruiting class and, four top 100 guys. Georgia's never done that. That's unprecedented. I mean, they've had a couple of special classes, back 1979, 1980. But it's been a long time since Georgia basketball has recruited like this. In fact, they never have. They've never had four top 100 guys. So he's pretty excited about that. And, that's Crean. I mean, he's an upbeat guy, and he knew he was taking on a challenge, taking on a program that had lost their best player in Yante Maiden that, quite frankly, doesn't have much of a winning culture when it comes to basketball. And, he's got to change that.
Did he say, or did it even come up, other than the six seniors, are we expecting any other attrition from this year's team?
Well, we asked him that in Nashville, and he said that's part of the process. So yes, he didn't say who, and because he doesn't know specifics, but he basically said everybody's going to be coached, and there's a process, and he knows that probably not everybody's going to like it. So I did a story on that, and from Nashville, and some speculation there. You wonder about maybe Hightower or JoJo Toppin, but you don't know. Just because the guy doesn't play doesn't mean the guy doesn't want to stick it out or doesn't want to be coached and get better. You look at the way he's recruiting, and there's going to be a lot of competition for playing time at Georgia. You got to wait and see if Nicholas Claxton comes back for his junior year. I would think he would. When you take a look at projections, you don't really see him anywhere, and he could stand to gain about 25 pounds. But an incredibly talented guy that, could evolve into a leader.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, with that was going to be my next question, was Claxton. Like you said, I get why he's so intriguing for the next level, but it just seems like he can only help himself more by coming back and playing another year in college.
Yeah, I mean, when Rayshon Hammonds went out, you saw, Claxton was a lot less effective. I mean, Rayshon made a lot of things happen. A 6'8", 240 guy that can shoot the three or create his own shot or rebound or inbound or move the ball. I mean, Rayshon Hammonds, I think Konzo Martin told me, he thinks is every bit as valuable as Claxton. And Claxton blocks shots and gets more rebounds, but Hammonds was the straw, and he's another top 100 guy on the roster. So, I mean, all of a sudden, Georgia's going to be sneaky good. All four of these signees pan out, all four top 100 guys, and, you throw in there Hammonds and Nick Claxton. Those guys come back, and then the performance you saw at the end, from Harris. I mean, where's that been? All of a sudden, I mean, Georgia looks like an NCAA, team to me next season.
Well, you kind of beat me in my next question. Do you think it is out of the question to say Georgia could go from 2-16 to 9-9? But if you feel like they got a chance to be a NCAA tournament team, then obviously you think they definitely should be or could
absolutely
be.
Look at Ole Miss this year. I mean, Ole Miss was picked to finish last, right? I mean, and you look at the way Georgia was playing down the stretch. I mean, Auburn won on the last possession against Georgia.
Yep.
Was it 2 weeks ago? I mean, without Rayshon Hammonds playing, LSU needed the last. Mississippi State needed a stuffed bulldog being thrown on the floor. Ole Miss went down the last possession on the road. I mean, Georgia was playing these NCAA tournament teams down the wire. Now, senior day, they got embarrassed. They finally caved in. They beat Florida on the road, an NCAA tournament team. I mean, all this happened in the last month. The team did improve. So the record, the record's a little misleading in terms of how Georgia was playing basketball at the end of the year. You know, the last two games, I just think they gave out. I mean, a team that had pushed all year, they just didn't have anything left in the tank for Missouri, and it showed. But there were some games there, you know, like I said, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, Auburn. I mean, I'm there, I'm watching them going, man, they're going to win. They can win this game. They're one shot away from winning this game. And that says a lot that they continued to play hard in those games. And it also says a lot about what Tom Crean did in 1 year, because this team, you know, they didn't have much of a point guard. And, you know, like I said, the mentality of those six seniors, you know, they practiced, you know what I said, they played hard, but I don't know that they necessarily played with heart. And I think that's going to change next season.
You mentioning that, you know, you think Georgia could make the NCAA tournament next year. Do you think that's maybe the expectation is that Georgia should make it? Because it's been a while since really, you know, we could sit back and say, oh, it'll be a disappointing season if the Dogs don't make the tournament. Do you think that's what Georgia fans should expect next year, is that they make the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's part of changing the culture, is changing the expectation. You know, it's up to Crean to change the accountability, and I'd say you'll see some attrition that will suggest he's done that. And you've already seen it on the recruiting trail, right? I mean, these guys aren't signing up to go 2-16. You're not getting four top 100 guys because they think George is going to miss the NCAA tournament. You know, so he's changed the expectation of the recruits. He sold the program. You take a look at the facilities, they're outstanding. You look at the marketing Greg McGarrity did and that Georgia athletic department. For them to set an attendance record this year, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, a lot of that is Tom Crean, but a lot of that's Greg McGarrity in the marketing department. That takes an athletic department to get that done. And so, you know, now it's fill in the blanks, right? It's check the boxes or connect the dots. So, you know, absolutely. You know, and that's going to be different for Georgia fans, you know, because I've seen, and it's curious to me, you know, this is a really supportive fan base relative to, you know, other places I've been without naming any names, you know. But the one area that I kind of wince at is some Georgia fans, you know, they attack basketball. It's not that they're indifferent. They attack it. Because it hasn't done well, they get mean and ugly with their own program. And it's like, what are you thinking? What are you doing here? Well, you know, they lose, and so we don't like it. It's like, come on, that's an ignorant mentality. I mean, you got a new coach now, and your team's playing hard. I mean, there's, you know, yeah, you can be pissed off about losing to Missouri by 25, but my gosh, give these guys some credit for, you know, playing Auburn and LSU and Ole Miss and Mississippi State down to the final possession. And Crean for staying upbeat. You know, I mean, the guy was, you know, he never had the epic meltdown that I anticipated. And the one time that he held people accountable, I mean, somebody flipped their lid and took it out of context. And, oh, Tom Crean should have never said it. Who says he shouldn't have said it? Who says he shouldn't have said it, that he was the one that decided to keep these players? He did. He did. He was making the point. Hey, if I didn't want these guys around, you know, I wouldn't have kept them. But, you know, this, yeah, every now and then somebody in the media tries to make a name for themselves and take things out of context. And, you know, so that was a blip on the radar screen. Yeah. But 90% of the people I talked to said, you know what, I'm glad he said it. He's right. You know, these guys want to be at Georgia, they need to play hard.
And, Mike, you like to think that most fans are rational enough to realize what you had just said, too. All right, wasn't a good season record-wise, but look what, you know, the foundation here is kind of being laid, especially with this recruiting class and these talented players coming back. So I'm with you. I think people just need to hold on to the fact that it's like, all right, this was a terrible year, but let's put it behind us and look ahead. And there's a lot of stuff to really like about what Georgia basketball has in the future.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, it'll be disappointing if they're not in the tournament next year. It will. It'll be a disappointment. There's no way around it. You know, I mean, yeah, you got a coach, you know, Tom Crean, he's 16th highest paid coach in the country. And you got a program, you know, to me, you know, the Coliseum, I think it's a great facility. I mean, it's comfortable. It's very, very fan-friendly facility. I mean, I don't know if there's a bad seat in the house. And it's a great environment. It's a warm environment. And, you know, it's just like, okay, now you just got to put the basketball team in there. You got the coach. Now you just got the players. I don't understand, you know, and I guess, you know, because I wasn't here. Now, I've been through Georgia plenty of times when I covered Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee. I've been with the opposing team when they rolled in here. I could never understand why Georgia basketball couldn't get off the ground. I couldn't understand. They got everything here. And now you know, what is it, the 13th ranked public school in the country, and now I live in Athens, I live in this town. I say, who in the world wouldn't want to live here? I mean, what has stopped this program from taking off? And I don't have any answers. People always said the right things about Mark Cox, and always nice guy, you know, does it the right way, all that. But he had plenty of time. I don't know.
Yes,
what
he did.
Stopped the program from taking the next step.
Yes, he did. You're absolutely right about that. Well, Mike, let's switch gears to football. Spring practice cranking up tomorrow, and G-Day will be on April 20th. I know the latest stuff that you've written, and I was wanting to ask you, too, which I think is some good questions about the linebacker position. And replacing a guy like Roquan Smith obviously was going to be tough. Didn't really feel like there was that situation. And again, not saying who is going to be the next Roquan, but would somebody step up and kind of take that role? And now looking ahead to 2019 and even to 2020, what are your feelings on that position and how that might play out this year?
The most shocking thing to me that I found, and it really didn't have to do that much with linebackers, but I wrote it anyway. In 5 years, and you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
In five years, Georgia has had two first-team All-SEC defensive guys. In 5 years.
Crazy.
That's 55 guys in the SEC have been first-team. There's been 55 opportunities for first-team All-SEC defense in 5 years, and Georgia's filled two of those lines. I mean, that is
kind of mind-boggling, actually.
I mean, where's the defense? I mean, maybe these guys like the downtown too much. I don't know. Are they soft because Atlanta's nearby and there's so many fun things to do? I will say that. That is one thing I've wondered about Georgia. Because, you know, you think about some of these other schools. I mean, what else is there to do in, you know, Florida State or Auburn? You know, it's not a whole lot there.
Starkville,
right? But when you're in a beautiful place, and I wondered if this hurts the California schools. I wondered if this is why, you know, UCLA and USC had some great years. But I've wondered that about some programs that are in really cool cities. Michigan, you know, Ann Arbor is a great town, versus East Lansing, where not quite as much. But I've wondered, is there too much in Athens? Is there too much going on? Is that why these guys, I mean, now the strength and conditioning staff, they put out all these cool videos. Boy, they'll show you how hard they're working out and everything. But then you go to the combine and the Georgia guys fall flat on their face. And you go, man, they need those guys with the cameras running around, I guess, because it didn't translate. Georgia guys didn't do well at the combine. Now, how much of that do you put on the strength and conditioning program versus the personal trainers the last 2 months? I don't know. But it would explain why there's only been two guys from Georgia that have made first-team All-SEC defense in 5 years. But to get to your point, you got, what, five stars there at linebacker?
Yep.
Kirby just promoted Dan Lanning and Glenn Schumann, and he gave those guys $700,000 in salary, $700,000 in raises, okay?
Yeah.
They got raises of $700,000. I mean, think, is that just not mind-boggling? So a 33 and a 28-year-old guy, right? So these guys must be doing something right if they're going to get almost $1 million in raises. And you would think maybe it'd be okay to expect one All-SEC linebacker, first-team linebacker, if you're going to pay those guys that kind of money and you got five-star guys there. Is that fair?
You think a linebacker that could step up might be a younger freshman, sophomore, or you think it might be a guy like Jawan Taylor finally, you know? I know he had a good year last year, but maybe, you know, turning into, you know, an All-SEC caliber guy.
No, not necessarily. No, I don't think guys just, you know, come out of the woodwork. I don't expect. I mean, Tay Crowder. I mean, would be the guy. I mean, he had what, two interceptions? I think he's the only linebacker with an interception last year. Wait, you got one linebacker with an interception? I don't know. Yeah, the fact that Kirby, you know, the only guy that would have started every game at linebacker was DeAndre Walker. Other than that, it had to be a committee. You know what a committee means? It means somebody ain't doing their damn job, and the head coach has to keep moving positions around. That's what a committee means. Kirby doesn't want no committees. He wants guys to step up and win jobs. Nobody would step up and win the job. I mean, come on. That's a problem. But you know what? Hey, those coaches got raises and got promoted. So, you know, it's not the coaches. That's Kirby telling you it's the players. That's how I interpret it. It can't be both. You can't give those guys promotion and $700,000 in raises if they're not doing a good job. The fact that these guys are doing it by committee tells you that, you know, the head coach wants somebody to step up and win a job. And I watched, just for the fun of it, and I'll tell our audience to do this. You know, it's not, it doesn't take a whole lot of research. Go back and YouTube Kirby's comments after the G-Day game last year and hear what he says about the team, and then watch how the season played out. He knew. He knew he had a leadership problem. And you know what? I think they still do. I still think they need more leadership. I look at Jake Fromm and I look at J.R. Reed and I said, okay, there's two. Who else you got? Who else? You tell me, guys. Who else is the lead? Other than J.R. and Jake Fromm, who are your leaders?
You wrote of Brian Herrien. What do you think of him?
Don't know what to think of Brian. You know, I mean, he's, 190 career touches. He's never had a play longer than 30 yards. I don't think much of that. I think that's pretty poor. That doesn't speak well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought he played well in the Sugar Bowl. I thought he showed up. I thought he was one of the few guys that showed up in the Sugar Bowl. So I'll give Brian credit for that. I thought he was their best short yardage back. The numbers said that. You go back, I did a study looking at 3rd and 1 and 4th, and I think Holyfield was like 2 for 7. I think Herrien was 2 for 3 or something. But he was very effective in short yardage. Runs hard, blue-collar guy. 3-star back. I didn't see many other scholarship offers, you know. But I don't know where he's at from a leader. You got to be careful on Twitter, you know. Brian had the controversial tweets sometimes. You go, man, that's kind of wince a little bit when you read some of that stuff and say, wow, you're representing the whole program there, man. Careful what you say. So I don't know where he's at as far as leadership, maturity. I know from a talent standpoint, he looks good. I know he's played hard. You know, he's a senior. I don't know if the coach sit him down and talk to him about how he approaches things. Kind of on the fence on whether or not Brian will be a leader. I think he'll have an opportunity to be a leader.
Besides Brian, too, before we let you go, what do you think we're going to see this spring as far as the running back position goes?
Not a whole lot. Going to work a lot on the pass game. Not going to get these guys beat up. You know, I don't know how ready Zamir and James Cook are. I don't think you want to find out. Okay, I don't think Kirby's going to have Zamir on the punt team in spring drills. Maybe in the fall he might be back there, but not in the spring. I think they're going to be careful because depth is a question. I mean, now DeAndre Swift had the first healthy offseason of his career. He's a guy that I can't wait to watch this season. I mean, I'm excited about. Hey, I cover football because I like football, guys. I love football. That's why I choose to write about it instead of, you know, crime or weather, right? Because I like watching football, and DeAndre Swift is one of those special guys. When you get to cover him, you're lucky. I was lucky. The first running back I covered when I covered a team, his name was Barry Sanders. I was the Detroit Lions writer in 1990.
Nice.
Lansing State Journal when I was my senior year of college. It was a pretty good guy to cover at running back. And then I covered another pretty good running back at Alabama named Sean Alexander, and he was pretty special. And then I went to Tennessee, and I covered a guy named Jamal Lewis, who turned out to be pretty good, and Travis Henry, and Arian Foster was a pretty good back. And then I went up to Michigan State, and they had a guy there you might have heard of named Le'Veon Bell, who I got to watch every day in practice. So I've been around some really great running backs, and Swift could join that club because he's going to be healthy. Last year, he really wasn't healthy, except for a couple times. And you saw when he was healthy, and so did Kentucky, right? And so did Auburn. When DeAndre Swift was on, man, he was unbelievable. And if he can stay healthy, and if he proves durable, you could win. You could have a Heisman Trophy guy here. You could. Now, I don't know you will, but I'm just saying he's got that kind of talent. So I don't think Kirby's going to want to beat these guys up. He needs to. They need to work on the pass game anyway. They got all these new receivers. Jake's got to get on the same page with these guys. I thought they were late. I thought he was late getting on the same page with Holloman last year during the season. We didn't really see JJ emerge till later. You know, now you've got all these new receivers, and so you've got to just throw, and you're going to throw to your backs anyway. So I think you're going to see a lot of that, a lot in pass protection. You know, you saw what Texas did with some different looks up front. They kind of embarrassed Jim Chaney and George in the Sugar Bowl. Maybe some of it was effort, but some of it was scheme. Texas coaches did a nice job on that Georgia staff. And Kirby will tell you that. You know, that wasn't Jim Chaney's best game. Jake Fromm will tell you that. Jake Fromm said after the game, we couldn't adjust. Couldn't adjust? Wait a minute. What do you mean you can't adjust? I mean, Jake's a pretty smart quarterback, so who's that put it on? So a lot of pass game. Don't think you're going to see much out of the run game till the fall.
All right, before we let you go, Mike, your Michigan roots. Michigan State and Michigan played yesterday in the Big Ten Championship. Yeah. They're both two seeds in this tournament. Which team goes further?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't impressed with the committee. I mean, in the sense that, you know, Michigan State beats Michigan three times, beat them in the regular season twice, including in the regular season championship game, beat them in the Big Ten tournament championship game.
Yep.
And yet Michigan State is in the Duke bracket as a two seed, and Michigan's in the Gonzaga bracket as a two seed. And when they asked the Stanford guy about it, who, you know, I guess you think Stanford people are pretty smart, but his answer was, well, you know, we wanted to balance out the regions. What do you mean you want to balance out the region? What the hell does that even mean? Look, the better two seed should play the worst one seed. I mean, this isn't rocket. You know, the thing that gets me, this isn't rocket science. We act like this is so complicated. It's not. We can all do it at home. It's not that hard. They got all the metrics in their lap and free sandwiches, okay? It's not hard.
What else could you ask for?
I mean, seriously, let's stop acting like this is heart surgery. It's not. It's not hard to figure out who the best teams are and balance it out. I'll tell you what's happening, and there's no doubt in my mind what the fly in the ointment is. The fly in the ointment that nobody wants to talk about is that there's a TV executive somewhere in this mess. There's somebody from television telling them what matchups they want. There's no doubt in my mind. What an amazing story this is. No, it's not. It's concocted. That's wrong. They need to stop it. Stop it. Stop considering where a mid-major's from. What do you know? Belmont made it in. Oh, what do you know? It's the Nashville television market. Hello? I mean, come on, man. Stop it. Stop it. Give us the tournament on its own merits. Don't give us this made, well, this way Michigan State and Duke will meet in the Elite Eight. But they shouldn't. They shouldn't. That game shouldn't happen in the Elite Eight. That's wrong. That's bad. Why bother with the Sunday tournament finales if you're not going to? Look at Auburn. Auburn got screwed, man.
Yeah,
Auburn beat Tennessee by 20 points, and they were a 5 seed.
I was surprised.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was just really flat out bad, disappointing. You know, I mean, okay, so maybe in the women's tournament, you got to consider different teams for attendance and television. But we're past that with the men's tournament. So I'd like to see somebody, you know, take charge in that NCAA committee. But this is the NCAA show. You know, this is run by the NCAA. This is their big moneymaker. You know, quite hypocritical to me for an institution like that, you know, to, you know, make decisions based on money instead of who deserves to go where. But that's what's happened. And it happens every year. And every year somebody's got a different gripe. And every year it's legit.
All right, great stuff as always, Mike. We appreciate it. Next Monday when we chat with you, we'll have, I guess, half the field left. We can see how things are playing out, plus what's going on with spring practice. Cannot wait. Thanks so much, Mike.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.